My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best. And may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
And I'm Retro Ray from Star Wars Stuff Podcast, of course, and Countdown City Geekcast.
And my name's Zach.
Hey, Zach, how's it going?
It's going good, David. Thanks for having me on.
Who are you? I've never seen you before.
Yeah, I just found the random link and sniped your stream here. I'm a fellow Star Wars fan who has a love and passion for this type of fandom, and I'm happy to be here and just talk Star Wars with you guys.
So yeah, I just want to formally introduce everyone that listens to us, watches us. This is Zach, and he is the first ever person to join the podcast that was, or actually still is, a patron member. And we had a very, very lengthy interview process with him over months and months. Not so much, but we've been talking for a little while. And we decided to make it official because he kind of wowed us and impressed us with his professionalism and all of his knowledge. So we're going to give him a shot here and see what he's got.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you guys taking a chance on me.
Yeah, for sure. So before we get started, of course, we do want to recognize Zach and all of our awesome patrons. On the purple tier, we have Hayden Hauser. He's a new person. Darth Ace One, Liam McCallion, Texas Vader 76, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Devin McCaffrey, Drew Peters, and Zach Netzel. On the red tier, we have Fenrir 526, Maya Morris. On the black tier, we have Maka Taltala, Nathan Shank, and Evan O'Paker. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. And of course, it is no longer Tano Tuesday. I guess it is, Thrawn Tuesday now? So
for now,
we're going to talk about Thrawn. We're going to talk about Thrawn for as many issues that Marvel has come out with the comics. And we're going to talk about issue one tonight. We have other stuff to talk about, though, before we get to the Thrawn comic. And it is going to be a little spoilery, but we don't want to spoil the entire thing. We'll go over some of the panels and talk about kind of the stories and possibly the hints at future things. And there's some names in there I think some of us are familiar with. So we'll go over that a little bit later. But I think first we want to talk about a few things that Ray and I have been working on. Mostly Ray, really, not myself as much. But Ray and I actually went to a convention in Killeen, Texas, and met Jennifer Beals, who of course played Madame Garza, and here's the official advert for Giganticon that happened, and she was awesome. There was a lot of female fans there. I wasn't really familiar with her career. She actually, I think the show is called The L Word that she's currently in, so she had a ton of female fans out there. And they were really kind of freaking out in line. And I think there was one specifically that she was acting like she was going to faint when she walked in. And I was like, wow. And then we had, there's a huge age range of female fans. They were talking to me. Ray stepped out of line. And I was waiting in line for her autograph. I got it on the Book of Boba helmet that I have back there. But they were asking me a lot of questions about waiting in the line at cons, because I told them, they asked me what was I getting signed, and of course they saw me with the helmet and they had questions about Star Wars and I was there to answer them. And I told them I was just in London a few months ago for Star Wars Celebration, and they asked me about how this all works, and I kind of just broke it down that it's a little bit of a waiting process, especially when you get there. We got there, Ray and I, before the convention opened, because we got media badges from Giganticon. And I just want to tell them thank you so much for that. So we were able to get in there early. So we were in line, I think maybe fourth person in line, because they had VIP badges. So yeah, I was answering questions. Everyone was super excited to meet Jennifer Beals. And from my understanding, this was only her second convention that she has ever done, and this was the first convention on American soil. The other one took place in London, but I do believe she's American, right? I mean,
she's American.
There's no detectable accent that I saw. So yeah, she rolled in and she had the typical layout, all the pictures on the table. You could choose whatever you wanted, all the way from Flashdance, of course, to Book of Boba Fett. She had a couple of headshots from that. I, of course, took my helmet. It was funny because some of the people, some of the women in line were like, I don't have any cash. And I said, yeah, that's the first tip. Whenever you get photo ops and autographs done, you definitely want to have cash and just pay cash so you can just get through, because everyone nowadays has those little connections that connect to their tablet or laptop that sometimes don't work. And of course it went down. So I got to basically jump in line, which wasn't a lot of people. And I got to meet Jennifer Beals right away. And so I presented her with a helmet and she was really nice. I asked her how many helmets had she'd signed. And she said, surprisingly, it was the third or fourth one she's ever signed. So that was really interesting to find out, given that she's only done one convention before this, essentially. But she's really cool. I hope to get Tamir Morrison's autograph on it. I hope to get everyone. I know we interviewed Galen Howard on the podcast. I hope to get his autograph, the guy that wore the baseball hat. And we haven't communicated with him in a while. We might have him back on the show. I believe he still lives in the California area. Maybe James can actually talk to him. But yeah, it was a great experience. I believe she was really the only Star Wars presence at Giganticon. Is that correct, Ray?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, everyone else was like, they had Power Rangers, they had the first Captain America, of course, the X-Men, they had Jean Grey, they had Wolverine, Bumblebee was there, the voice of Bumblebee, voice of Grimlock. I mean, it was a pretty awesome show. But yeah, those are the, she was kind of, and her co-star for Flashdance was there as well.
Okay. Yeah, so once I got that autograph, I was like, okay, I'm set. And of course, every time that Ray and I go to these conventions, we do want to get these people on the podcast for sure. But of course, due to the actors and now over writer strike that's been resolved, I don't think it's really proper to do that quite yet. But it feels like all the actors are kind of doing more things now. I'm not sure about podcast-wise, but it feels like they're kind of opening up a little bit more. We definitely want to talk to Jennifer Beals. And we asked her point blank, would you come on the podcast? Her representation was there. Ray already knew them, so he had their information already. But she said, yeah, sure, but I can only really talk about my experience on Book of Boba Fett. And we said, perfect. That's what we want to hear about. And I don't think she's really done any podcasts or interviews that were extensive on the Book of Boba Fett and her experiences, Madame Garza. So hopefully we get her on here in the near future. When that actor strike ends, definitely we're going to have probably a deluge of interview stuff. So, yeah, and YouTube right now, Parker Middleton says, hey, guys, longtime listener, first time live listener. Love you guys. Thank you so much, Parker. So there's no more Ahsoka. Ahsoka's done for season one. Hopefully there's a season two. And of course, there's a Filoni movie we have to look forward to. There's a lot of talk, I think, on the internet right now of a potential season two happening for Ahsoka. Zach, what have you read anything on the internet? What do you feel right now for an Ahsoka season two?
I guess I want to say that Disney was testing the waters with Dave Filoni a little bit, because, I mean, The Mandalorian was his opportunity to be in the limelight with his Ahsoka episode in season two. And I think they felt comfortable enough giving him creative control over his own show. And I think given that it's had success from what I've seen, and I'm sure from what you guys have seen so far, I think that we'll see a season two of this show. I believe that was a little bit of the chatter around Lucasfilm before the strikes went on. And I believe that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Since this show has aired in its entirety for the season so far, I believe that we will see a season two of this show.
So where do you rank Ahsoka in all the Disney Plus live action shows?
Man, I'm biased. I mean, I'm a Clone Wars kid, and if I get as much Clone Wars content in a live action series as I can, I'm going to put it number one. So right now, it's currently my number one. Are we doing this by season, by show? Like,
We could do it by this graphic right here.
Okay.
So you have the Mandalorian, probably, Boba Fett, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, and Ahsoka.
I would probably have Ahsoka be number one. Mandalorian, I would have number two in its entirety. Then Obi-Wan, I would have three. And Andor and Book of Boba Fett, I would have be tied for last. But I love all of them so much. I don't want it to seem like I didn't have appreciation for any of these shows. I'm very biased when it comes to Star Wars content in general. Yeah. Some is better than others, that is for sure. But I definitely love all of it. But those, I guess that's my rank of enjoyment. I've gotten out of all of those so far.
I kind of agree with you. It's like saying which kid you love the most, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's a little tough, but for me personally, I think I like The Mandalorian more. It was more up my alley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ahsoka was great. I think Andor, for what it is, it's great as well. It's very gritty. It feels like it's outside of the normal tone, which I think it is, of a traditional Star Wars film / TV show, or just the overall general feel. But it's great. The writing's great. Dialogue, it's fantastic. I want to say Mandalorian, Andor, Ahsoka. You could maybe interchange Andor and Ahsoka, but lots of people online are just like, no, Andor is like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
But to me, it was just that there was something, I don't know. I don't know if it was too gritty or what for me for Andor, but it, Jared here on YouTube says, Zach is sleeping on Andor.
Oh, Jared. Jared's a buddy of mine, so I know exactly where he's coming from.
Yeah, I figured he was. That's why I put it up. So
I've gotten this spiel before.
So, yeah, Ray, where do you rank these shows?
Well, first, we got to talk about, we did present Jennifer with one of the Star Wars stuff podcast pins as well.
Yeah. Ray came in the clutch. He gave Jennifer Beals his own pin that I gave him. So, yeah, she got that. And yeah, we're still kind of in between merch right now, or in between swag. So yeah, she got a 2022 Star Wars Celebration pin that looks a lot like the Star Wars Stuff podcast logo at the top right.
Yeah, it was a sacrifice, but it was for the team.
It was a sacrifice play. So, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to what you're asking, I'm kind of in the same boat with Zach. Andor, you know, it's unique stand. I would say that's a kind of its own standalone because it's a new world, new introduction, but really not, because we get to see the backstory behind the Empire, how they had things made for them. You know what I mean? Just like they had clones doing the dirty work for them. These people that they captured or put in prison, it kind of goes back to the back in, you know, 1970s, where they used to use prisoners as labor camp workers, you know, back in the day. So that's kind of what they're doing here. Of course, space with electrical floors and, you know, stuff like that. But it was good because we get to see that. And, you know, we kind of saw a little bit of that in Clone Wars. Rebels. Where we see, you know, when they're working on the plants on the, was it Lothal? When they were building the speeder kind of looking bikes. They weren't prisoners, but they were using local people to build the equipment for the Empire.
Yeah, absolutely. And they had some people working on the inside to kind of sabotage, and that was foiled and all that stuff. But yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's why, like I said, that's why I feel like that one kind of is a standalone. The rest of the stuff is kind of paying homage to all the true, you know, of course, Star Wars fans who follow everything from now to then. But this is kind of giving us a new world to look at, to see things differently. Because, like, for me, you know, without Clone Wars, I would have never really... I really didn't like the Clone Troopers at the beginning. But when I watched, you know, Troop 99 and, you know, the Fives, you know, it made me realize, like, it made me like the Clone Troopers. Yeah. And it really... That's where I fell in love with the Bad Batch. So... Yeah. It's kind of one of those things. It's giving you more characters, new characters to fall in love with, new storyline. But that's where I stand. I'm kind of right there with Zach.
Nice. So, yeah. Is there a specific TV show that you guys want to see next that's not already created? Acolyte, Skeleton Crew. Is there a very like character or storyline specific TV show that you guys want to see?
Yeah, I would love to see something about Starkiller. I don't know if it's too late to include him in the canon at this point. I know with interviews that, you know, you get from Dave Filoni or Sam Witwer, there were whispers or talks about throwing Starkiller in Rebels or in a book or in a comic or just some way to include him. Cause I mean, they've got the face and voice of, you know, Starkiller in their back pocket, ready to use whenever they want, because Sam Witwer's not going anywhere anytime soon. And I think it'd be cool to do some sort of story with Sam Witwer as Starkiller. I don't know how they'd pull it off and where they put it into the timeline, given how they've done Rebels and how they set up the Empire pre-original trilogy. But that is definitely... If I could handpick, I mean, that's a dream. That's something that I would love to see come to light for sure.
Nice. Ray?
Kind of a little bit of... I mean, there's so much you can go with it, because I would like to see a series of Thrawn, because, you know, if we can get that... I mean, like, we're reading the comics.
Yeah.
The comics are freaking awesome. Just what you're reading, the artwork, the way you see Thrawn portrayed... And novels are great too. So novels, you have to imagine what the writer's writing. You have to picture it in your head. Here you have the pictures drawn for you, so you kind of see that character. But then also what helps as well, now mind you, when these books were written, that voice actor for Thrawn was not there yet. So when you read this, you had to imagine who this person was, and
yeah,
you know, they're speaking. But now, like me, anytime I read a Batman comic, I hear Kevin Conroy. That is my Batman. Yeah. So anytime I read Batman, that's who I hear in the background as the talking. Same thing with Thrawn. Mm-hmm. When I was reading this comic, that's who I was listening. That's who I had in my head that I was looking at when I was reading the comic, was hearing his voice, a younger version of him. Mm-hmm. And the comic, like I said, me reading, I had not read the comics at that time period. Mind you, at that time frame when these came out, I was... working in the comic industry, but I was kind of behind the scenes and stuff, so I didn't have much time to read as much as I wanted to, so it was like little picks in here and there, especially since comics come out every week.
Yeah.
And you've got all these different lines that come out, you know, Superman, Spider-Man, Transformers, I mean, they have Buffy, there's so many. If you love to read comics, there's so much you can read from. But I didn't get a chance to read this particular line, but me reading it currently, it just made me see Thrawn in a different light, tying to the series.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you, David?
I'm always saying I want to see a continuation of the Obi-Wan show, but have Vader also co-star. They don't have to meet, but you can show the parallel series of events that's taking place in a linear fashion. And you could bring back Natalie Portman. You could bring back Liam Neeson. And of course, they're not alive, but you could still be creative and show them in like flashbacks or dream or nightmare sequences. So I think there's a lot they can do with that. And I think there's been reports out there that Ewan McGregor has asked Lucasfilm to do something of that nature. So, and you have Hayden. Hayden's not too old. I mean, he can still come back as Anakin and reprise his role. We've seen the proof in Ahsoka. So it's all there. And I'm an original trilogy fan. That's what I grew up with Star Wars. That's what I love. And to see Vader and Ewan as Obi-Wan is just perfect casting. All of Ahsoka was perfect casting. If they do maybe decide to go back and do the backstory for Shin, for Baylan, we all know that Ray Stevenson has passed away, so he can't possibly be back. But, I mean, I wouldn't have any issues with recasting him and maybe doing a series maybe from his point of view, becoming the general, so you could see younger Baylan, so the issue of recasting wouldn't be such an issue, and you can actually see a younger actor kind of become the Jedi, then become the Jedi general during the Clone Wars, and see his rise, and kind of see his change of stance with the Jedi Order, and him maybe learning about the Mortis gods, and maybe start the series off with him listening to the fairy tales that were told to the younglings on Coruscant. And that would be really cool. And have that in live action, that whole kind of visual aspect that would give us, and maybe tie it to Peridia as well. You can come back around. That's the beautiful thing that Star Wars does, is they show us something and then years later they can come back and decades earlier show us something new that connects with the overall storyline. Yeah,
absolutely. So, I see this comment here from Jacob. A what if series would be pretty interesting. I guess with a what if series, you could kind of, you know, you take all of our ideas and toss them into one show, and you could, and, you know, in theory, you could, anything you bring to the paper, you could put out on a screen. It'd be animated in theory if you're going off of the Marvel What If series. But I know we all have some sort of Star Wars story in our head that we wish went a different way just because of specific love for specific characters. But that's,
what are your top two, Zach?
My top two What Ifs?
Yeah.
My number one What If would be Anakin defeating Obi-Wan on Mustafar. And I know we get a little bit of that in the PlayStation 2 alternate ending for the game.
Yeah.
And he stabs Obi-Wan. He walks back up to the landing platform where Palpatine greets him with a red lightsaber. He just tosses it into his other hand and he stabs him right through the gut. And he's pretty much like, the galaxy was mine. I don't know if that's how I'd want it to go, but the fact that they actually looked into that would be really cool. And I would also want to see a what if Ahsoka never left the Jedi Temple during the Clone Wars. Mm. I think that would have changed a lot of Anakin's arc going into Revenge of the Sith, and how he would have handled learning about Palpatine being the Sith Lord. And who knows, maybe Ahsoka would have been right with him to go rescue the Chancellor, and Obi-Wan could have potentially gone off to fight Maul. I don't know. There's a whole rabbit trail there that I could go down, but those are my top two. Absolutely.
So yeah, James just chimed in exactly what I just thought. So yeah, what if Ahsoka is in the movie Revenge of the Sith? That would be awesome to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think one of my top what ifs is if Qui-Gon never died, if Qui-Gon defeated Darth Maul and stayed. And we've all seen Filoni talk about in the gallery show that Qui-Gon was Anakin's father figure and was going to guide and mentor him. And then once he died, he lost that father figure, and Obi-Wan was more of a brother and really couldn't mentor him in the way that he could have Anakin's storyline be on the light side. So that would change things drastically.
Definitely.
My second one is essentially, it's pretty basic. I mean, what if Anakin never just turned to the dark side? What if What if Padme lived? What if the twins were born and he had Luke and Leia and they were their kids and they grew up on Naboo together? It's what, I mean, I guess the story would be a whole lot more boring, or maybe there would be another, I don't know, entity that would come in and kind of take the place and fill that void. Maybe, I guess Dooku lives. I mean, and it's like Darth Tyrannus and Darth Sidious versus the Empire, and then we head off on that journey. But yeah, other than that, I mean, to me, seeing Hayden Christensen with Natalie Portman with the twins in some type of like dream sequence, I think the fans would love that. I think that's something that could be easily realized. But the actors are getting old, so we gotta act quick, and that's the crux of it all. So
Ray, luckily they can move like they're younger. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah. For sure. So Ray, what are your top two what ifs?
Well, I kind of, so the comics, they have like the Vader lost missions. I would like to see that, because okay, so when you watch Clone Wars and you watched, you know, in the Clone Wars, you see episodes where it's just Ahsoka on missions by herself, but yet Anakin and Obi-Wan are on separate missions that we don't know about. They just talk about, but we don't see them in the movies. I would love to see a series where, you know, you have Anakin and Obi-Wan's lost missions and them doing what they were doing, like an 8-episode thing where we get to see those type of, you know, stories. But then also including the troopers, kind of like what Richard said here, a Navy SEAL style show with the Republic Commandos. You know what I mean? Kind of a combination of the two. I would like something like that for a what if. Just not when it, you know, not even what if, because it would be standalone, it'd still be canon.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, yeah, that's one thing I would like to see is what if Qui-Gon survived? He didn't die. You know what I mean? Would he have actually trained Anakin differently than Obi-Wan? You know, what could have been the outcome if he had survived? And he did strike the way Obi-Wan strikes down Darth Maul, instead of following that same move that, you know, Qui-Gon died with. And if he would have done the move that Obi-Wan did in, you know, Rebels, you know what I mean? And he would have killed Darth Maul. So there's so much that, you know, you're just opening a can of worms, man.
Yeah.
There's so many.
there are a lot of instances where, like, the Legacy of Nerd says right here, I would like to see what if Luke missed in A New Hope. Yavin 4 would be dust. I think that's one thing that would happen. Leia would die. General Dodonna would be dead. 3PO would be gone. A lot of people would have died.
Yeah.
A lot of our favorite characters. that's what would have happened. We also have a comment here by Albert M. Padilla here. You guys might know him. Hey, guys, drive by here, but loved the Infinite series of comics and was about as close as we got with What If for Star Wars. Any of you read the series?
Did not, but we're probably going to pick up and add it to our stuff to read.
Yeah, I haven't read it myself, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, and speaking of comics, so Ray reached out to our local comic book shop in San Antonio, Texas. And it's actually the place where I met Dominic Pace for the first time at a 501st troop. It is a place called Dragon's Lair Comics and Fantasy. It's a physical comic book shop in San Antonio, Texas. I believe they have more than one location, right, Ray?
Yeah, but they're franchised. Those are actual franchise owned. The one that we're working with is off the Alamo Ranch, Calibra in San Antonio.
Right.
And
right,
Rose is great. I mean, she's, you know, going to work with us, help us, you know, get the Star Wars comics so we can read and review. I'll be going on Wednesdays and going on and, you know, seeing what's on the shelf, doing some, you know, TikToks and videos for the fans so they can see what's coming out, like variant covers for Star Wars. I'm also going to be doing it for Countdown as well, reviewing certain story arcs like Transformers, depending, you know, what the series are. So it's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of stuff. Like I said, you know, we're probably going to pick up that series that we haven't read because a lot of graphic novels are coming out. So support your local comic book shops. Go and pick up some graphic novels. They can pre-order them for you. And you can jump on with us and start reading. And, you know, you see what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Rose is awesome. I met her when I met Dominic Pace. And, yeah, she's terrific. If you want to go by, swing by. Tell her the Star Stuff podcast sent you over there in Alamo Ranch in Culebra in San Antonio. Do that. Tell them you heard us on the podcast talk about their store. And also, we met a couple people at Alamo Con in Shirts, Texas, just by, I don't know, happenstance. Ray had actually reached out to them before. And it just so happened that they are the owners of a pizza chain, essentially a mom-and-pop pizza chain in San Antonio. They have 6 locations. I think one in New Braunfels and the rest are in San Antonio in Shirts. And they're called Matanga's Pizzeria. And the name is actually the names of the two owners, Matt and Anga. And they just combined it to call it Matanga. So they were in front of us meeting Chris Bartlett at the Shirts Alamo Con, and they told Leilani Shu, who was in the table next to Chris's, that they were looking for Ray, and Ray was standing right next to them. It's a weird story, man, but yeah, Ray was standing right next to him, and then they spoke with each other, and then I was with Chris Bartlett. I was getting his autograph on the helmet right there. And once I was done talking with Chris, I went over to them, and then they said, "Yeah, we're the owner of Batangas," and they said, "We're huge Star Wars fans," and we're like, "Okay, how big a Star Wars fan are you?" And they said, "We're really big." So to actually get employed at their store, the employees all have to take and pass a Star Wars quiz to get employed. That's how big of Star Wars fans they actually are. And we're hoping to collaborate with them in the future. And like I just said, they have 6 locations, all in San Antonio and in New Braunfels. And they actually, they gave us dinner. It was on them. And we tried a couple of different pizzas. And I got to say, if you go in and if you like, this is weird to say, but if you're a fan of like Big Macs and like In-N-Out, they have a pizza that basically it's like you're eating a Big Mac. It is weird, but it's good though. It's really good. Yeah. It's called, what was it called? The Big Mat for Matanga. Yeah. So that's really good. Also, the brisket pizza was really good too. So we met with Matt. And we told them, yeah, we'd love to do something, maybe do a live podcast in one of their stores. And they've had podcasters going before and stream live. So, and they have a little setup in the Shirt store. So definitely check them out. Really nice people. Yeah. Tons of stores everywhere in our area. So definitely check them out.
Dude, the pizza, I'm telling you right now, I'm a person for pizza. Okay, so you know how Papa John's has got the bread crust at the end of the pizza. Some people don't eat it because it's too bready. This bread at the end of the pizza is so good. I actually, here at home, I did a little thing. So you know the avocado ranch dressing from
Chick-fil-A?
Yes. So I dipped it in that. In that, oh, dude, it was so good. Just the bread. That's after eating all the pizza and I had the bread left over. I dipped it in that. It was so good. And of course, there's a pizza that they're supposed to be working on too. The what was it called? The chick or something chick? The side chick.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as we all know, yeah, Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays.
Yeah. So they're working on a pizza for that. That's one I'm looking forward to going to try.
Yeah. We also met, I believe, the manager and his wife,
Yeah.
So there's the owners. It's a husband and wife, and then there's the husband and wife management team at the shirts location. His name was Daryl Avery, and then his wife's name was Kira, and then we automatically pointed out, yeah, you got a Star Wars name. And they were super nice, and Daryl came out, and he spoke with us, and he was like, yeah, I'm a big sci-fi fan, too. I knew you were coming, and we're like, what? So we spoke with him for a little bit, and they were talking about how they engineer their food. They engineer their pizzas. They definitely find a specific like flavor profile to get a distinct taste, and it's good stuff. They care about their food. They care about their customers, a great customer service. I don't know if it's because we're Star Wars the podcast, but everyone was like super nice to us, and the food was great. So if you're looking for a new pizza place and you're in the South Texas area, check out Matangas, and they got 6 locations. So
definitely.
All right, I think it's time to talk about Thrawn, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm definitely.
So Zach was letting us know that this run of Thrawn was, I think it dropped in the 2019 time frame. So
I think it was 2018, but very 2018. I believe okay. So. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it's a little older, but the cool thing is you can actually get the first 6 issues for free if you are a member of Amazon Prime. So you can go right out right now to Comixology and download the app on your phone, or just view it through a browser, and you can actually read the first 4 or 6 issues. I know it's a few there. Okay, 6. So the first 6, you can take a look at them, and we're going to kind of gloss over them. This will be a little spoilery on the run of Thrawn, just the first episode, but definitely check it out. And like Ray said, support your local comic book shop if you got one close by. And we definitely are going to work with Dragon's Lair and try and cover as many different comics, as many different runs on Star Wars as we possibly can. So the cool thing about this comic is when you open it up, if you're on digital, if you're going to read it there, you just basically click through the pages and you can zoom into the panels and get really close-up look at the actual dialogue and the artwork. And this is how this comic starts off. You have kind of a title screen or page of Thrawn. And I don't think this is shown anywhere else but the comics, but I think it's a kind of a cool font there for Thrawn. And this, of course, is the cover of the comic book. And you can see prominently in the front, you see Grand Moff Tarkin. You see Thrawn's rank there on his uniform. And you see the classic Stormtroopers. And when you open it up, you get to see everyone that worked on it. And we definitely want to recognize those people. And of course, we all know it's based on Timothy Zahn's run, his novels that he created in the 90s, the Heir to the Empire series. And the writers, there's a writer, artist, color artist, Jody Hauser wrote, Luke Ross illustrated. The color artist is Nolan Woodard. The letter is VC's Clayton Cowlis. Cover art is by Paul Renaud. Assistant editors, Tom Groneman with Emily Newcomen. Editors, Heather Antos and Mark Panaccia. Star Wars group editors, Jordan D. White and Mark Panaccia. Editor-in-chief, CB Sibulowski. Chief creative officer, Joe Quesada. That's a name I think a lot of us know. President, Dan Buckley. And for Lucasfilm, a lot of names that we know here. Assistant editor, Nick Martino. Senior editor, Robert Simpson. Executive editor, Jennifer Heddle. Creative director, Michael Siglane. Lucasfilm story group, James Waugh, Leland Chi, and Craig Five's favorite, Matt Martin there. And at the beginning of the book, we see a Vanto's log. It kind of gets you in the right headspace. You see Galactic Empire. You see the mission, study the mysterious settlement and crash site on an unnamed planet in wild space, beyond the Outer Rim and the unknown regions. So it tells us essentially where we're at. The operatives, we see their pictures right there. Captain Peric, or how do you say that, Zach?
I think it's Peric. P-A-R-C-K, Peric, I believe.
Okay. And he's of the Imperial Navy, Myomar, Imperial Academy cadets. And then the notes, unknown alien protocols when a new species is discovered. It is to be contacted and studied for posterity, and it's a Republic procedure. So, and I believe you get this in the front of every book. So, yeah, like I said, we don't want to spoil the entire thing. We want you guys to go out there and check out the comic. So we're going to go over a few of the pages and kind of go over the basic kind of storyline. So the first page here does show our character here, Thrawn, in hiding. And we meet a couple of characters here that are on this unknown planet and are looking at some markings. And it looks like it's not a familiar language or a common language, I should say. But we also see that ship that's stuck in the overgrowth there in the vines. And I believe that's an Alpha 3 Nimbus class V-wing starfighter, if I'm correct there. And we do see, of course, Thrawn's blue arm ripping out that pilot and kind of digging through his stuff there. And I don't know, does that look like he's been there? I guess he's been there a little bit of a while. But he's essentially going through stuff. And yeah, Zach on YouTube says, very cool panel of Thrawn's glowing eyes. Yeah, that's really the notable thing about Thrawn is the blue skin and the eyes that glow red. And that is what his people look like. And his people, of course, are the Chiss. And the Chiss were made famous by Timothy Zahn's run of graphic novels. And we'd all see people cosplay as Chiss and, of course, Thrawn at conventions. But we had never gotten a live-action representation of Thrawn until Ahsoka this year. So we kind of know what they look like now. And Thrawn is out there in the wilderness. He is... It feels like when you see a couple of these panels, he's kind of out there, kind of like the Predator in a way. I mean, his character is one that he's super athletic. He's, of course, we all know he's super intelligent. He's very tactical. He's very plotting. He's patient. All the best characteristics for someone to be in the Empire and to strategize, really. And if you've seen Rebels, you've seen what his strategies are and the way he kind of is. And then, of course, when you saw Ahsoka, you got to see his demeanor and how he strategizes. He's always trying to be one, two, three steps ahead. So the next panel I think I want to show is, so Thrawn actually, of course, we all know he gets involved with the Empire, and the comic reveals how that happens. And of course, Thrawn has longer hair. He's a younger man. And I know Zach was telling me this is about 2 BBY in the chronological events there. And we see here in this panel, these are clone troopers. So this is, of course, during the time of the prequels. Before the clone troopers changed it over to stormtroopers was what you saw on the cover. So this series, this run of Thrawn, does cover a lengthy span of time. So
yeah,
I think what issue do you think we get to, or is it the second issue? Because I know there's a big jump in time once he gets acclimated to the Empire.
I definitely think there's a jump of time or jump in time of at least a few years between issues 1 and 2. Cause we definitely see some significant changes to his character and especially his rankings. And obviously we all call him Grand Admiral Thrawn. We know he ends up to be the Grand Admiral, but this is definitely
right.
Kind of, you know, his story on how he gets to that point, but it's definitely over a few years, I would have to say.
Yeah, Zach says on YouTube, very cool panel of Thrawn's glowing eyes. Yeah, I think he's referencing the other panel, but I mean, on every page, his eyes are glowing red, and that's
very well.
Yeah, that's a cool aspect of Thrawn, and of course, We don't know if we're going to see more Chiss characters in Ahsoka or anything live action, but I think we would all kind of love to see it. So, of course, Thrawn does make his way onto the base, I believe, in the comic book, and he's putting on the helmet here. So he's doing the classic Luke and Han from A New Hope strategy here to get on. And of course, if you look at other panels here, this is where I believe that he intercepts the communication from the clone troopers. And I think we kind of went out of order there, but he's actually listening and he's plotting, and we get to see his moves, and he's very stealth about it, and he essentially blows up the base there. And I believe these are the first two pages of the comic book right here. And you basically see he's ruthless.
Yeah.
And he's like that from the very beginning. And it's kind of tough to know what the reader is actually, what knowledge they have. And after watching Ahsoka, I think we're kind of assuming you've seen that. But to see Thrawn here in his origin story as a young man and as acting alone, and we learn later on that he has been exiled. And if you look at a later screenshot, this is the continuation of him putting on the clone trooper armor and then getting caught. And he essentially kind of maneuvers his way in. And this is the first panel where we actually get Thrawn's full name. And
yeah, I had trouble pronouncing the name.
Yeah, it's a long one. So I was telling Zach earlier, if you just kind of break it down, break it up, I think it's pronounced Mithra-Nuru-Odo. It's like, say that five times fast. But apparently, yeah, all the Chiss, or I know Thrawn siblings have names that are this lengthy and this uncommon. So we get the introduction of his name, and of course he's wearing the clothes we learned that he was exiled in from his people. And we meet the two characters that we saw in the Vanto's log walking up. And of course there's Vanto and there's Peric there. And so they continue with this interrogation. And we do see, leading up to the relationship that Vanto and Thrawn actually build here. So it looks like they're, I don't know, not really cellmates, but like, I think Thrawn in this instance, he's like in a cell, but you see Vanto essentially interrogating Thrawn, but Vanto doesn't really let that to be let on that that's the case, but Thrawn picks up on that. And I don't know if it's through like intuition or what, but it seems like Thrawn has a little bit more knowledge than, or is he just that smart about the Empire and their tactics? What do you guys think?
Well, as of right now, reading the comic that we're reading, of course, with not counting the novels, you know, one, we don't know why he was exiled. So there's got to be more behind it. Eventually, I'm pretty sure we're probably going to get to it in the later comics, but yeah, there's more to him that I think that we're not aware of right now in the comic. And like you said, he's very smart. He's very intelligent. He likes to analyze his opponents, you know, and he tries to feel them out to see what he can get from them. And that's what I took from when I read this.
Right. Yeah. My understanding from the Timothy Zahn trilogy was that I don't think we got an explanation of why he was, maybe we did. I didn't read those books, but I do know the broad strokes. But he's all about his people in those books. He's all about the Chiss. And what he was trying to do was maneuver his way in the Empire and get a foothold in so his people could essentially take over and he wanted to be that vacuum filler, so to speak, for Palpatine dying, for Vader being gone. And you learn all about that in the Timothy Zahn novels. But of course, they're not live action canon. So that's the thing we have to keep in mind. So Disney, Lucasfilm, canon, as of right now, is pulling stuff from the Timothy Zahn work. So, but there are familiar names. The Chiss, of course, and Thrawn. The name, I believe, is the same. The Chiss name. So, moving on, we do see the first encounter of Thrawn with Palpatine. And Zach, did you want to talk to this a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess first, we notice it's on Coruscant, and it's labeled the Imperial Palace, which we knew this to be the former Jedi Temple that we all saw in the prequels. And I like how in that main panel towards the top there, we could see how that looked a lot like, or looks a lot like what the second Death Star insides would come to look like that we see in Return of the Jedi, where eventually Palpatine's sitting in his chair watching over the Battle of Endor, and we see Luke and Vader fight in a room that looks very similar to that in terms of design, which I appreciated that right off the bat. And I thought it was interesting how Palpatine wanted an audience with Thrawn. I mean, how many prisoners or people that they captured do you think he wants to talk to? You know what I mean? I don't think there's a ton of people that end up actually going to talk to Palpatine directly as the Emperor, especially if they're a prisoner. So that speaks to me a lot that there's more to Thrawn than, you know, a lot of people are realizing.
Yeah, yeah. And to me, he's already playing like the 4D chess. And it just occurred to me that Chiss and chess sound a lot alike. And there, if you look at the panel there, you can see like the deep chasm with no handrails again. And what Zach pointed out, yeah, you do recognize from the old Death Star those cylindrical tubes that come up with those like light, those orange light panels that come up. Yeah. And of course, he has his Crimson Imperial Guard there, and similar throne. But yeah, Thrawn, yeah, does get an audience, and he makes his way up to the palace there, the converted Jedi Temple. And of course, I think we've spoken about it on the podcast a few times that there's actually a Sith temple below the Jedi temple.
Yeah.
And where did we learn about that, Zach?
I know that there were some, I guess this was kind of, I believe this was alluded to in some novelizations of some of the prequel movies. And it was kind of how Palpatine was able to mask his identity, being around so many force sensitive beings. That there was a Sith temple. And I know that there was some sort of arc in the Clone Wars that got cut when the show was canceled that had to do with the Sith temple below the Jedi temple. And I believe it had something to do with Ahsoka getting captured by Palpatine after she walked away from the Order, just to kind of torment Anakin a little bit, excuse me. And I believe we don't know a whole lot about it, but we do know that it was there. And I guess that's pretty much all I know about it.
Yeah, I think we'll run across it again in a different run, but
I think I think the High Republic, we may find some stuff out in that maybe. Mm.
Yeah, so this is actually a popular panel that you can see online. So Thrawn does reference Palpatine's old apprentice. And Thrawn alludes to the fact that, yeah, they did run into each other. I know Thrawn and Anakin had some type of connection before Anakin turned to Vader, and then Vader and Thrawn went on a mission, I believe, to Batuu. I think some people think at this point Thrawn figures out that Anakin is Vader, but I'm not quite sure if it's this exact moment or if we're not reading into it enough. But Palpatine, of course, we all know that Anakin is Vader, and Palpatine knows, and he kind of sidesteps revealing that information because, of course, once in the novels and in other media, once someone knows Vader's identity, Vader essentially executes them.
Yeah.
So it's that fact. I mean, I don't think Palpatine really cares if people die, but I mean, of course, I think it's best that secret is really kept, just for strategy reasons, really. But yeah, you see a panel there that when they reference Anakin, that he's burning to a crisp there on Mustafar, and you see Vanto there, kind of reacting to Palpatine and Thrawn's conversation, and Vanto's along for the ride. And of course, I think a lot of people have heard that name before, and of course, it's at the beginning of the comic, so he becomes a bigger and bigger character, I believe, throughout this comic book series.
So quick question, real quick.
Yeah.
So when I read this, this is what I interpreted.
Okay.
And this is where the what if we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
What if one of those lost missions, or, you know, missions that weren't shown on Clone Wars, had a mission that was tied with Anakin and Thrawn together? That's why he knows Anakin. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's just my theory. That's how I took it when I read this.
Yeah.
I was like, how does he know Anakin? How much, you know what I mean? Because not every, like you said, not everybody knows. So he had to be pretty close to know more than anyone else. You know what I mean? But that's just me. That's me interpreting what I'm reading. But that's like,
yeah. Yeah. I believe there's some mission that they had together where they did run into each other. So I think that's somewhat canon. I just don't know what media that was. If you're in chat and you know, let us know, or if someone wants to look it up here.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely. I mean, this is what I mean, I was kind of like, wow. And that's, I think, what really intrigued Palpatine was Thrawn was like, he knows who he is, but he didn't back down. He wasn't, you know, like if it was someone else who was not Thrawn, and they would kind of be pleading for their life or something in some way or form. But Thrawn didn't show no flinching, no anything like that from what I was interpreting, what I was reading.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah. He showed no fear whatsoever.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thrawn, it seems like he's a combination of all kinds of different aspects of characters that know that whatever situation they're in, they can figure their way out of it. So
yeah,
that's why Palpatine really doesn't scare him in a way. And he knows whatever happens next, he can figure out a way out of it. So we jump to here on this next panel. So Thrawn is given the rank of lieutenant. So if you want to find out how that happens, check out the comic, of course. But he has the plaque there. And yeah, Vanto is telling him that this is not so much a gift as a weapon. And Vanto's super negative. He's saying a weapon against you. Because I think if you're familiar with army, with navy, it might be the same kind of thing, but I mean, there's people that, of course, I mean, everyone, I guess, has an ego, and when you go through military like that and people see other people progressing faster than the other, and of course Thrawn being a Chiss, he's not a humanoid like everyone else, and most of the Empire is just humanoids, so there's a bit of racism there, with him being a Chiss, and of course him getting that instant promotion to lieutenant. That aspect Vanto knew was going to make a lot of people angry, and we see later on here them going out to the commissary there, the cafeteria, to go eat. And Vanto is kind of talking to him about how there's a group out there after they kind of did their thing, they ate. There's a couple people out there that want to essentially play cards. And this card game, it's not Sabacc, it's a different card game out there. So there's multiple card games in Star Wars Galaxy. And of course, Vanto is super negative about the whole circumstance and thinks it might be some type of trap. And of course, Vanto really doesn't know Thrawn that well. So Thrawn reconciles the fact that, yeah, I do want to attend this game. You don't have to if you don't want to. But it's all part of Thrawn's strategy. So he does decide to go attend this game. And moving on to the next panel here. And he says straight up, he says, Vanto says, is this what just do? See a trap and just walk into it. And Thrawn, being Thrawn, says sometimes walking into a trap is the best strategy. And I mean, I do kind of see that. I mean, in everyday life as well. I mean, you sometimes you just want to walk into it. And I mean, you know your abilities. Thrawn knows his ability. He's a master tactician. He has a super huge IQ. What do you guys think of that?
No, I mean, he that's where I told you he's. And I think that's what the Palpatine likes about him, is that he does think that way, and he doesn't. It's like he does not have fear, you know what I mean? But like I said, that's just my interpretation of him.
Yeah,
like, he's not afraid to go into situations like this.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, I guess when I read that bottom bubble that was on that picture, sometimes walking into traps the best strategy, that makes me think of Anakin and Obi-Wan when they're on the Invisible Hand in Revenge of the Sith, and they're like, oh, I sense Count Dooku's up there. Next move, spring the trap. And they, you know, they kind of had a similar strategy. And we all knew that Anakin and Obi-Wan were not the most orthodox of Jedis, and they kind of went against standard protocol, sometimes by choice, sometimes not. And I can definitely see Thrawn, I don't know how to put it into words here, just kind of playing well with that mentality. Like, I could, if let's say Thrawn was an Admiral Yularen spot in the Clone Wars, I could see Thrawn probably admiring Anakin's maneuvers that he made as a bold and courageous warrior, versus being, you know, like a face palm, just like, oh, what are you doing? I definitely think Ray, kind of like you said, that Thrawn's willing to take risks, and how he's not scared of walking into whatever's out there.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely measured. And I think he looks at the Empire and everyone that's under Palpatine is really not a risk to his life. I think he just can figure out how to get out of whatever situation he gets launched into. And here on this panel, you see the two characters that invited them to the card game, Rosita and I forgot the other person's name. You guys remember?
Not off the top of my head.
No.
So, yeah, they're playing the card game, and they reveal that, yeah, they really didn't invite Thrawn, per se, to come and play a card game, but to pick his mind on strategy, because they heard rumors about his strategical prowess there. So they start playing cards anyways, and they go into the rules of the card game, and it sounds kind of like poker to me. And how you can, the different type of poker hands, like a royal flush, a straight, that type of thing. But they did call it specific things in the comic. And of course, they pick Thrawn's mind about a certain situation with an unbeatable hand in that card game. And Thrawn basically lays it out that there's no such thing as an unbeatable hand. And it feels like, as a reader, you kind of think that you know where he's going with it. I thought the place he was going was that he was going to say, well, I mean, it's just a game of cards. And what if you have a blaster and they don't, that type of thing, you know? But he went through like rules of the actual card game and was like trying to break down, well, okay, well, the probabilities of your opponent having the same hand, even though however small, there was still a chance. And the two characters here kind of, or actually the guy here, he gets kind of fed up with it. And he's basically telling him that he's like, I thought you were this great strategist, and you didn't really give me what I was looking for as far as advice on strategy. And then Thrawn, he pulls out the ultimate card. He pulls out his plaque there, and he shows them that he's a lieutenant. And everyone's like freaking out here. So, yeah, Thrawn says, I believe you're about to make a challenge. So Thrawn shows them that he's their superior, basically. And an officer walks in and is kind of bumbling, and he's like, what is going on here? And he sees Thrawn's rank and immediately changes his tone and leaves. And of course, it had to take these two cadets here by surprise. And of course, you'd figure in these next panels that it shows them maybe either contacting someone or them themselves trying to get even. And they essentially jump Eli Vanto and Thrawn on their way back to their quarters. And they actually put up a fight. And Thrawn gets kind of messed up a little bit. But Thrawn says, my injuries are minor despite appearances. And Vanto helps out in the fight. But before this, Thrawn does something to Vanto that was like kind of out of left field. But now, like we said before, if you want to check it out, buy the comic, check it out there. And Thrawn's all good. And in this panel here, Thrawn says, Chiss do not make idle boasts or promises. Once they set their minds to something, they succeed. And then Vanto says, or die in the attempt. Actually, Thrawn says, or die in the attempt. And Vanto's just kind of mouth open, just kind of just blown away by Thrawn's, I guess, confidence here. And it feels like this is the character that we come to know, and all the stories we've heard, we've read, everything from Timothy Zahn, it is the future Grand Admiral Thrawn that we get introduced to. So that is issue number one of the comic. What did you guys think, Zach? What did you think about the introduction of Thrawn and his ascent to lieutenant there?
Yeah. I like how this adds a little bit of mystery to Thrawn. Cause I mean, if you first were introduced to Thrawn in Rebels, like I was, you definitely always question something of like, oh, where's this person from? How did he get to this ranking? Blah, blah, blah. And even though we're getting some of this backstory, it still provides a lot of mystery, or opens up a lot of mystery, in terms of him, how did he get exiled? How is, we need more of his background and just to kind of figure that out. But I definitely think it shows early on how strategic he is and how, he can kind of manipulate situations to make them work out for him. I think it shines a light on his, strategic abilities there.
Ray, what'd you think?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, this is a funny part. So when the Thrawn novels came out, I didn't read any of them. I would see them, you know, like when you're at Walmart and you're going through the aisles and you would see the novels come out. I would see them, but I was like, oh, it's not what I'm used to Star Wars wise. Don't get me wrong. I did read, like, if it had a cool cover, like the Boba Fett bloodlines and the Luke Skywalker, and when it had that type of tie-in, okay, I would buy it and read it. This didn't attract me in the novel form. But of course, seeing him in, Star Wars Rebels, but then me reading this comic for the first time, it made me, like, it opened my mind to a different things. Like, okay, how does he know Anakin? You know, there's more behind him that we're not getting in this first issue. So I feel like we're going to get more information as we read these comics. But it got me intrigued. It kind of, okay, for me, this is just my opinion. I took it with the long hair, the colored eyes. He kind of reminded me of a Native American. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The way he was, the, kind of the clothes he was wearing, kind of, you know, that would the Indians would wear tribal. And stuff. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I took when I saw that and I was reading it. And I was like, man, this is intriguing. Because, you know, he... I'm not saying he's cocky. He's kind of cocky to an extent. But it's like he has no fear. Like, he's not afraid. Like, if me and you were to do something drastic, we would literally think twice before we actually followed through with what we're going to do. Like, he literally, you can see, like, there's no flinching, no, in the comic, there's no flinching. He just literally goes, but like I said, we don't know what's in his, what he's thinking in his head as he's doing these things. But it this book, this novel, just, our novel, comic, really got me interested, and I'm looking forward to reading the other ones. I wanted to continue reading, but I knew if I read it all, and as we're covering them weekly, I would forget what I read. So I was like, I'm just going to wait and read it every week ahead of time as we get closer to it, so it stays fresh in my head of what I read.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. I mean, it's a good book.
Yeah, I like the introduction overall. I like the mystery of it. And there's, of course, it's Star Wars, so there's other connective parts. And we've heard some of these names before, like Eli Vanto. And, of course, him meeting Palpatine right away and alluding to Anakin. I think that's a lot of foreshadowing for the future. Yeah. And, of course, I think it's kind of ubiquitous now that we know that Thrawn, if you watched Rebels, has interacted with certain characters. And you kind of know the overall story. We just don't know what happens after Ahsoka now in the canon timeline. So I think that's the only thing that we're missing. But overall, if you're interested in more Thrawn stuff, of course, watch Rebels. I believe season 3 is when he comes in. And yeah, of course, he stays in till the very bitter end. And he's a big character. Lars Mikkelsen voices him. And it plays a live action role as well in Ahsoka, as we all know. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for the Thrawn coverage on that comic book. And like we've been saying, Ray and I, and of course Zach too, we want to keep on covering these comic books. And let us know what you think. Let us know if you want us to do it differently. Or also let us know what books you want us to cover in the future. I think we're going to go pretty deep into Thrawn. Because I think people are interested right now. But I know Ray has mentioned a Mandalorian run, and there's an Obi-Wan run as well. And I think you might have some of the comics right there, Ray.
Yeah, and there's also High Republic that just came out. This is it's going to be Volume 3, issue number 1 that came out this past week. But there, Volume 1 and Volume 2 graphic novel are available for pre-order. So if you want to get into those before reading number 1, you can do that. So I've got season 2 Mandalorian, you know, thanks to Dragon Lairs for the first, these are the first 4 issues. Number 5's coming out. And if you like art, they do variant covers. And there was one I just saw that for issue number 5, it's an Ahsoka variant that looks beautiful. I got to go back and look who the artist was. And then, of course, we got the Max Rebo one shot that we're going to go over. And then this is going to be for Countdown City Geekcast, which is, I'm a big Transformers fan. So this is a reboot by Skybound. And I Robert Kirkman got the rights for G.I. Joe Transformers, and he's rebooting it. He grew up with it as a kid. So far, what I've been reading in the first couple of issues, the first couple of pages, The artwork is phenomenal. It's interesting. It's a different spin, but I do like it. And, you know, as fans, we're very picky. If it doesn't fall for what we like, we'll tend just to blow it off. But I want to see what other issues are going to be planned. But yeah, a lot more cool stuff to come. I mean, I think I posted on my TikTok, Retro Ray 210. There was two issues. There was three issues that came out this past Wednesday. One of them was an issue that had Hondo on the cover. So I'm going to try to go back and pick that one up to see. Now, mind you, sometimes what's on the cover is not always what's inside the pages. Because they like do this? Variant.
There's yeah. no target in there.
Yeah. So they kind of they tease you with the variant, the cover, and then the inside is different. But right. that's the best part about it, because you don't know what you're getting until you get it and you start reading it. Right. But yeah, man, we're going to have some more cool stuff. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff to read. So, like I said, we're going to start off with Thrawn. You know, I did pick up an issue of High Republic number one. I had to pre-order it because they were sold out by the time I got to the comic book store. So I'm picking up that issue number one so that I have it, and I start currently picking those up. And then I'm going to pick up volume one and volume two to read those. Because as you know, those are probably tie in to the back prequels or whatever that we're going to get in the live action.
Yeah, definitely right before Acolyte comes out, I think a couple months maybe before, we're going to start covering High Republic stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty heavily, so we can get everyone in the right right space there to yeah. talk about that era of Star Wars. But yeah, definitely thanks to Dragon's Lair. They provided yeah. comics for us. And like we said, we're going to review as much as we can. And that's pretty much it for Thrawn. Is there anything else you guys wanted to cover before we end today's podcast?
No, man. That's pretty much it. Like I said, just stay tuned. Tomorrow's Comic Book Wednesday. I will be going to Dragon's Lair at Alamo Ranch. So I will be posting up, you know, what's on the new shelf for the comic books.
So Wednesday is when stuff drops at comic book shops.
Yes. So okay. there's comics that are bi-weekly. There's some that are monthly. Okay. So every, depending what arc you're reading, if you're doing DC or doing Marvel, you know, some are every week and some are every 2 weeks. So it just depending on what you read. There's a lot of independent comics that are out there that, are, you know, of course, we've seen picked up and put into live action series. So, you know, with we got the break for Star Wars, go pick up some Star Wars comics. Keep yeah. yourself busy while we wait for, you know, if we're going to get another Ahsoka or the Mandalorian movie or.
Yeah. Skeleton Crew is up next, but it's going to be a few months.
Yeah.
Probably happening early next year. So, yeah, you got time, definitely. And so, yeah, for Retro Ray, Zach, my name is David. May the Force be with you.
Always.